have one case on our docket for oral argument this morning. It's 21-30101, Betts versus Brennan. Mr. Castang?
May it please the court, and good morning again, members. For the record, my name is Andre Charles Castang. I'm an assistant attorney general for the state of Louisiana, and this morning I represent Louisiana State Trooper Ross Brennan. The district court erroneously denied his qualified immunity-based motion for summary judgment, and I'm here to ask you to reverse and grant the motion on his behalf.
I guess the elephant in the room is the Hanks case, which seems to be factually similar, and the district court thought that that was clearly established law. So what's your response to that?
I think Hanks is distinguishable. I think the situation in Hanks differs because with regard to Mr. Betts, he was, particularly at the time he got out of his truck, he got all bowed up. He took a very aggressive stance, and he said something like, "Bro, don't touch me, you're gonna have to call your people." I think he made both, and before that, when the trooper had put his hand on Mr. Betts' shoulder while Mr. Betts was in his car, Mr. Betts shrugged it off. I mean, that in itself isn't dispositive, but when you get that, combined with the aggressive posture, combined with the statement that I think a reasonable officer could interpret as he was going to fight him, or at least there was a reasonable indication that there was going to be fighting him.
You're welcome to keep your mask on, but if you want to take it.
Sorry, Your Honor, I forgot.
It makes it a little more difficult for us to.
I apologize.
But you're welcome to keep it on.
I'd rather take it off. I just got going.
Got it.
So you're saying there was some physical noncompliance here, unlike in Hanks. And then there was the verbal aggressiveness. There was some verbal noncompliance or some verbal questioning in Hanks.
And I think I'd go with verbal, noncompliance, certainly disagreement. I mean, I think it was more than just, "Yes, officer."
It seems to me there's got to be an overarching principle in these cases that this was a single officer.
Yes, Your Honor.
And after repeated requests, there was non-compliance to turn and face the car with this so that the officer could see his hands. So how long, how many times does an officer, it is a safety issue from my perspective, because once you're facing the officer and you can't see the hands, you don't know and you have not been able to frisk the individual. So it seems to me that there's at some point, what does an officer do when there is non-compliance?
I think, unfortunately, the overarching principle is it objectively unreasonable to an officer in what he sees at the scene in real time? This court has said it's not susceptible to mechanical interpretation.
That makes our job awfully hard. There are some other principles. There are principles about the officer needs to sort of reasonably, gradually escalate. That may not be the phrase, but shouldn't immediately escalate with abrupt violence, I think, is one principle.
Yeah, and I don't think, and with regard to that principle, it certainly was not cases we hear about where there's immediate tasing or immediate force. This went on for, I think, 3 minutes and a little bit. There were, I think, 24 orders that were not complied with. We had a situation where even early on, Mr. Betts was more than merely disagreeing with the officer's choice decision to pull him over. It was, "You're gonna have to tase me." And I think that combined with the incident of the hand on the shoulder, combined with the aggressive posture, combined with the statement that, "If you touch me, you're going to have to call your people," I think
Verbal noncompliance in Hanks had to do with asking whether he was under arrest or not. There was a and the office, the investigation found that the officer hadn't clearly told him one way or the other.
And the, you know, and I think certainly in both in that case and this one, there's the person who stopped is certainly not happy about being stopped by the police. But in this case, it certainly it escalated more beyond the kind of complaining to the police officer, saying I wasn't speeding, why'd you do this? You know, we had more than that, and I think that's the more than that that distinguishes this case from Hanks.
Are you aware, at one point the officer says you're going to need to go to the back of the truck, I'm yes. paraphrasing, says something about safety, I couldn't tell what he said, something about safety. Are you aware, this may not be in the record, what is there a standard procedure where an officer is facing sort of a belligerent person and it's go to the back because I want to get you away from the cab or something?
I am not, sir, it is not in the record and I am not aware.
Okay. I mean, we have cases that I think Hank says in a footnote that being in the cab presents its own safety issue. Because obviously you could have a weapon.
I mean, I think certainly that's an objectively reasonable position to take about getting someone away from the cab. But for that reason, but I don't know that there's nothing in this record that describes what the practice should be.
I mean, our cases also talk about, well, don't choose immediate abrupt force over continuing verbal negotiation. What could the officer, why couldn't the officer have just continued to verbally negotiate?
I think at some point, the officer, you know, a reasonable officer can put a stop to it. I mean, it doesn't have to be just a continual negotiation or discussion or argument. I mean, I think at some point, the officer is able to take, and I think in Hanks, it's calibrated measures to bring us to restrain the individual. And again, we have in this case that there has been escalation. There's been escalation by Mr. Betts with the, I hate to keep repeating myself, but with the threatening posture, with the having shoved off the hand on his shoulder, the threatening posture, the statement that you're gonna have to call your people. I'd also point out, and this shows up better on the repair shop video that Mr. Betts put in the summary judgment record. At one point, you can see from the distance, there's a pretty significant difference in the size of the two individuals. Mr. Betts is a good size individual. I mean, I can't tell you exactly how much each one weighed, but you can see the relative sizes have some difference to it.
So, he was certainly larger than the policeman.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I think
so that might have been part of the policeman's problem.
Well, I think, and that's, you know, certainly goes to the objective reasonableness that you have a police officer who's, you know, significantly smaller than Mr. Betts. Mr. Betts has said he's essentially he's going to fight back. I think a reasonable officer can say, if I get in a physical confrontation with him, that could be dangerous for me. It certainly probably is not something that's going to make it end immediately. And that on the other hand, the single use of the taser would and did bring it to a very quick stop.
When he got out of the truck, did he close the door to the cab?
No, Your Honor.
So maybe that's why he asked him to move down, get away from the cab.
When he was asking at the outset, yes, Your Honor. I mean, not to argue against myself, but out of accuracy, I do think at the time Mr. Betts got out of the truck, at least right before the tasing, the officer had told him to turn around and face the officer. So at that point, he was no longer ordering him to get back to the back of the truck. But by that point, I think things had escalated and he was trying to bring an end to the situation right then. And I think
the degree of force here, I mean, I've read all the cases. I mean, we've got a number of taser cases. I wrote one recently called Cloud v. Stone about a tase from a resisting arrest, but then there was a gun, so it's slightly different. There's a single tase, and I don't want to minimize that amount of force. I don't want to get tased once, twice. I don't want to get tased at all. But it's a single tase. It's not one of these cases where there are multiple tases. In the Hanks case, it wasn't. Do you understand the use of force in Hanks? I didn't fully understand it from the description in the opinion. It was called a half spear. I didn't know what that was.
And I attempted to look at the video that's part of this reference in the opinion, and I wasn't able to call it up. I don't know whether that was a problem with the Wi-Fi where I was staying, or it wouldn't call up, because I was trying to get some clarity on that.
It was a blow, but some kind of blow to his upper back and neck.
And it seemed from the description that the deputy had him.
Well, he had his taser drawn.
Yeah, he had his taser drawn, and he was right up next to him, and there was a slight shuffle to one side.
A step to the step. Left.
Yeah, and there was, as he had ordered him to kneel down, you know, say, I might put my feet out, you know, I might move a foot too to try and get down. But he was right there, and I got the impression he hit him, you know, from close distance, but I'm not sure what that half spear is.
Yeah.
And with regard to the amount of the force used, I struggled as well trying to come up with a fair word. Again, I didn't want to use minimal or certainly not de minimis. I mean, but the amount of force used was that single tasing, and I think it is fair to look at the video. After Mr. Betts got handcuffed and the officer sat him up, excuse me, Mr. Betts was pretty vocal about his feelings.
Yes, the argument continued.
The argument continued. He was very coherent. I mean, he was asking somebody, you know, call my wife so she can come get the truck. It was not, you know, the amount of force that was used was, I guess to use the phrase, calibrated. You know, it was not several tasings. It did not make him unconscious.
Some would argue that on a traffic stop where there's no indication that the person who stopped is a danger to the officer or others, that you should wait for backup before you employ any kind of force. What's the response to that?
I think that is definitely generally true, that right at the beginning, if it's a stop for speeding like that, that in itself doesn't warrant the tasing. But I think because it escalated over several minutes in real time, that I really think the aggressive actions and words that Mr. Betts engaged in, particularly when he, saying aggressive stance is just so bland. I mean, he was bowed up.
I wonder if waiting for backup in a situation like this is going to de-escalate or further escalate the situation. Well, you're gonna have a group of officers? What's going to happen then? They're just going to manhandle him?
Well, and that's essentially what waiting for backup leads to. I mean, I guess you have to hope that the show of the number of officers is going to, what's a good word, you know, put him into, you know, submission, saying, oh, they might do something bad to me, so I better stop now. Or alternatively, if he doesn't, because he's pretty agitated, and again, a colloquial term, he's got a full head of steam. You know, are more officers on the scene really gonna help a lot?
Well, the response is, we don't know till you try. So, I mean, I'm just asking, yeah, I'm not.
I think certainly at the beginning, I mean, with the factors that go in, at least the general factors and severity of the crime at issue, it's a speeding ticket. I mean, we all know that.
But the other thing that concerns me is there's no clear way to know if he still if he has a weapon or not. That's one. His hands were visible, it looks like, in the video. most of the time, but I thought the officer asked him to turn so that he could see his hands and to face the car. Maybe I misunderstood.
I think at the end, once Mr. Betts put his hands, eventually put his hands behind his back, just for that then the officer said, face me, but I do think before that he was saying face the truck.
But the point, I'm guessing, an officer, we have people, tragically, officers shot across this country on routine traffic stops, and there was no determination prior to tasing that he did not have a gun. So, I mean.
Correct. And I see my time is up, but answer your question,
you saved some time for rebuttal.
Please, the court. This is a situation where the force, I believe, was clearly unreasonable in light of the circumstances. If you recall the video, when Mr. Betts stepped out of the vehicle, there's a lot of talks about him being agitated and aggressive. He did, prior to stepping out of the vehicle, the officer did place his hand on Mr. Betts' arm, and Mr. Betts jacked his hand away, not his shoulder. But when he stepped out of the vehicle, that's when things changed. The officer stepped back, drew his taser, ordered him out of the vehicle. He got out of the vehicle with his hands up.
After some extended exchange, this was not immediate compliance.
Correct. After some extended, Mr. Best constantly saying, what's my cause? He's agitated while he's in the car. Maybe at that point, the officer would have been reasonable and drawing his taser and possibly using it. But from the point when this gentleman got out of the car, hands up, the officer says, get out, he gets out, hands up, the officer says, put your hands behind your back. He puts his hands behind his back, but he's looking over his shoulder, still talking to the officer. It's clear that there's nothing in his hands. For some unknown reason, while he's doing this, the officer says, turn and face me. I don't know why he says that. He doesn't order him to go to the back of the car at that time. He doesn't order him to close the door. He says, turn and face me. And there's some kind of, it appears that there's some kind of misunderstanding as to why my hands are behind my back. You can see my hands. Why do you want me to turn and face you to where now you won't be able to see my hands? So what does the officer do? Less than 8 seconds later, he tases the man. Did he have other options? Certainly.
What were the other options, do you think?
He could have ordered Mr. Best to step farther away from the vehicle where the door was still open. He could have ordered Mr. Best to get on his knees. If there was concerns about the difference in size and maybe Mr. Best can overpower him, he's complete.
So, yeah, he could have ordered that thing. Mr. Betts didn't, he wasn't in the sort of, he had already demonstrated by that point that he was sort of not in the frame of mind to do what the officer was saying. He was questioning, what's your cause to do that? Could the officer have used any kind of force at that point?
At that point, the officer had created distance between himself and Mr. Betts and drew his taser. At that point, there was no immediate threat to him, so there was no need for the officer.
You don't think the officer could have used any force at that point, not even try to put a hand on him?
He could have possibly, but then he would have been giving up the safe distance that he had already created for himself. So a reasonable officer could have just ordered him, go to the ground, get on your knees, to further reduce the potential threat to the officer.
There was no attempt to handcuff him while he was facing away from the officer and his hands were behind his back?
There was. So the entire time Mr. Betts has his hands behind his back and is asking, what's my cause? The officer is a few feet away with the taser on him. No attempts to handcuff him, no attempts to further limit Mr. Betts' ability to move if he felt there was a serious threat that Mr. Betts may attempt to harm him.
Now, the first time the officer attempted to physically touch him, Mr. Betts batted his hand away, right?
The officer put his arm on Mr. Betts' arm. He didn't bat the officer's arm away, but he did jerk his arm away. Okay. And that's when he was still sitting in the car,
okay,
in the truck.
Right. So you think Hanks is sort of that clearly establishes the law.
Hanks clearly establishes that the force used, and is applicable to this case, the force used against Mr. Betts was unreasonable in light of the circumstances. There was a, I mean, the officer didn't really explore whether or not Mr. Betts had a weapon in the vehicle, but the gentleman was on his lunch break. He had just come from his job.
Well, the only way you can truly explore is to physically search, and he was the only guy. So he would put his life in danger if he can't search and keep the guy still at the same time. So
I agree. I agree with that. And if there was concern about a weapon, once he had him out of the vehicle with his hands behind his back, he could have ordered him farther away from the vehicle.
Well, if you've got a gun in your waistband, you don't have to. You can be a long way away from the vehicle and still kill the officer. I mean, this is my problem. It's a single officer and someone is not compliant, and you don't know if they have a weapon on their person. You know, he's gotten away from the cab of the vehicle. It's really difficult when someone's not compliant to know if they're armed or not. So what, and your client was not compliant. I mean,
he was verbally non-compliant. There was never any aggressive physical action taken towards the officer. So I believe a reasonable officer, if he felt that this could escalate until somebody who's...
And he told Mr. Betts, I thought repeatedly, I'm going to tase you, I'm going to tase you, I'm going to tase you, and he did not comply. Is that correct or not?
For a period of 8 seconds when...
How many times did he say, I'm going to tase you?
4 times, I believe, in the span of 8 seconds. Mr. Betts is hands behind the back, and he says, taser, 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 and he tases him. So that's kind of what he says, taser, 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 and he tases him. And Mr. Betts still has his hands behind his back while the officer's saying, taser, 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 and then he tases him.
So in Hanks, when there was a half spear or whatever that was, some kind of blow to his neck, Hanks was at the trunk of the car, I think, with his hands on the car, right?
I believe his hands, initially in Hanks, his hands were on the back of the car, but I believe at the point when the half spear was used, his hands may have been on his head.
Yeah, it was the officer says, to your knees, and Hanks makes a small step to the left, and then the officer, boom, hits him.
Correct.
Go ahead.
In this case, Mr. Betts wasn't given the opportunity to go down to his knees, which would have been a very reasonable request by the officer. He's bigger than me. He's been verbally non-compliant. I got him out of the vehicle. His hands are behind his back. Next logical step, go down to your knees, sir. And this could have potentially avoided this tasing occurring.
I'm just curious. I haven't read the complaint. This was filed in state court first.
Yes, sir.
And what are the injuries alleged? How are they characterized?
Primarily, he injured his cervical and lumbar spine. There's some medical treatment related with that, and then just general anxiety associated with being tased.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There was in Hanks, as I recall, there was an investigation by the police department that found the officer had used unreasonable force and that the subject was compliant, right? So is that a distinction here? Was there an investigation here?
There was no investigation here. In fact, Mr. Betts pled guilty in state court because to resist.
What did he plead guilty to?
Resisting an officer.
Resisting, okay.
Factually, when he jerked his arm away, that's sufficient grounds for resisting arrest and misdemeanor.
Right, right, okay.
That's why hex isn't an issue in this case. So not to rehash what the appellant argued, but the appellant filed this appeal requesting the court review the video, which I'm sure you have had an opportunity to do. If we look at it from the moment this man gets out of his vehicle with his hands up to the moment he's tased, less than 25 seconds elapsed. And the officer had a simple traffic stop, There's no immediate threat to the officer because there is distance between the two individuals, and Mr. Betts' hands is behind his back. And
okay, let me add, you say he could have asked him to get to his knees. Let's suppose that in a hypothetical, the person who stopped does not go to his knees. His hands are still visible. He doesn't go to his knees, and after repeated requests, what does an officer do when the person who stopped is non-compliant for an extended period of time?
Then at some point, and I don't know what that extended period of time is, but something more than 25 seconds, I believe the officer would be reasonable at some point using force. If he's tried to de-escalate and minimize the harm to himself in all the reasonable ways that are available to him, in this case, order him further away from the vehicle, order him down to his knees. If all of these things are unsuccessful, then yes, at some point, I believe the officer can do what's necessary and escalate the force. But when we have a person who's not actively resisting, that's just passive, verbal questioning nonstop, do we want officers exercising escalating force when there's no threat to his person?
Any further questions?
I don't, thank you.
Thank you, counsel. I think we have your argument.
Just a few comments, Your Honor, and I want to rehash what's already been argued. My colleague makes a number of points about what officers could have done. But in a qualified immunity-based motion for summary judgment, the burden is on him to show that it was objectively unreasonable to all reasonable officers. And it's not a least restrictive means test or a somebody could have done it better or there's some standards out there that he didn't follow. The test is Mr. Betts has to show that all officers would think this is objectively unreasonable. In that, I'd also add, I mean, the video's in the record, the court can view it, but I believe it shows that the trooper did a couple of times say, if you don't turn and face me, I'm gonna tase you. He did make some verbal warnings before the tasing. And I believe, again, the video's gonna show that at that point, Mr. Betts was facing the back of the truck. At least at the beginning of that exchange about put your hands behind your back, at one point Mr. Betts says, what do you think I'm doing? As his hands are up in the air, not behind his back. And again, he continues to argue even when he, and I would say grudgingly, puts his hands behind his back. The trooper says, face me, and he's still arguing. So, I mean, there's been partial compliance.
I mean, in my viewing of the video, when all of that happens, he's standing right next to the open cab.
Yes, I would agree with that, with what it shows. He's standing right there. I mean, if we're talking about danger to the officer, his hands are behind him, but his pockets are right there. I mean, there are a number of, you know, if he had something in his pocket, he could have grabbed it pretty quickly. If he had something there. When he warned him, I'm going to tase you if you don't turn, he was still arguing about turning. So, I mean, we had, even after he put his hands behind his back, there was still noncompliance and the continued arguing and not complying. Unless the court has any questions.
Is this a case where the officer said, if you look at me, I'm going to tase you? Is that one of the warnings? No.
I think, in fact, the officer said, turn and face me. And Mr. Betts argued.
Might have been yesterday's case.
I've surprised myself.
You come for a lot of these tasings.
I think I surprised myself at my ability to keep them straight in my head 2 days in a row. But the...
This one, unlike yesterday, this one, I mean, we've got everything on the video, right? There's no one's arguing that there's a fact issue.
No, I think...
It's all there.
I think with regard to our summary judgment, this was a... I mean, we put the video in, we had some criminal documents in for a separate purpose. Mr. Betts put the two videos in, and that's it.
I mean, it's all there.
Yeah, there aren't any genuine factual issues on this.
It's clean in that way.
It's a nice clean record. This one's got a clean record for the court,
right.
And it's on summary judgment. And we, I believe, the district court erred when it denied the summary judgment and asked this court to reverse and render judgment in favor of the trooper on this Fourth Amendment claim.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Appreciate it.
That will conclude the arguments. This and the other cases presented this week are under submission. Thank you.